welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Missouri Tigers. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Kyle McAreevy of the News Tribune. And Kyle, I'm still trying to figure out exactly what that was last week and how lucky the Tigers had to be to actually come out on top of that one. The final score is 30-27, double overtime. As someone who's there, what did you think of that one?
Well, say what, it was conservatively like 500 missed kicks.
Right. and missed by like 500 yards. I mean, there were some kicks that were 25, 30 yards left or right of where they should have gone.
And there was also a missed kick that might have been in.
You know,
kind of hard to say.
Yeah.
That was definitely a very weird game. I think we talked about it on the preview pod for the Vanderbilt game, that Vanderbilt's been a weirdly hard game for Mizzou these past few years, other than the COVID year 2020.
Right.
Was, you know, 50-something to nothing or whatever it was. Other than that, Vanderbilt's been a strangely difficult game for the Tigers.
Yeah.
And I think the Commodores are better than I was expecting, to say. And maybe better than the credit they've been getting this season. They played very well overall. You know, they still might end up with a pretty bad record, but I have a feeling they're going to give teams much better games this year than they have, you know, across the past few seasons.
I think it was one of those where you just kind of kept expecting things to just, all of a sudden, things to get better from Mizzou. I mean, especially when you look at the fact that time of possession was 58 minutes to almost 12 minutes.
They had significantly more chances.
Yeah, and you kept looking at it going, oh, it's going to get out of control in a hurry. And the, you know, this is the drive where they start to establish their dominance. Or this is. And it never seemed to happen. And for all that time of possession, I mean, you know, they outgained Vanderbilt by about 100 yards. You know, so you look at them and go, okay, you're doing what you're supposed to do in terms of, like, we're managing the clock, we're controlling the ball, or controlling tempo. It just seemed like it never resulted in much of anything.
Yeah, I think the forming narrative after the last 2 weeks is red zone efficiency.
Right.
True. I mean, Mizzou had chances and failed.
Yeah.
Repeatedly. When it got close. And, you know, you can talk about the three missed field goals. That's what it is.
It's still a problem. But it's a problem. It's not maybe the problem.
But you settled for 5 or 6 field goal attempts.
Right.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
You got within range and failed repeatedly. And one of those kicks, I think, was in the 50s. So one of the main kicks was in the 50s. So, you know, that's not necessarily like you're right on the doorstep. But the other ones are all opportunities where you need to score a touchdown sooner or later.
Right,
when you have that many chances and you're that close, you have to reach the end zone.
Yeah.
Especially, like I said, I think Vanderbilt's better than they're getting credit for right now. They're not Alabama.
Right.
Like, you're going to be playing at Alabama in a few weeks. You're going to be at Texas A&M next week. You have to be able to take advantage of opportunities when you set yourself up
for them. You know, it's kind of one of those games where you go, okay, Brady Cook, an interesting stat line. Let's just say interesting from the standpoint of, even if you're going yards per attempt or yards per completion, whichever way you want to look at it, 24 of 38 for 230 is not nearly enough. You know, so yes, it's 2 touchdowns and no interceptions, so it's clean on that side of the ledger. But you just look at it and go, that's not translating into a lot of, you know, dangerous plays.
And there were a couple deeper throws that he was just maybe like a foot off on, and in a way that, you know, they fell incomplete. You know, a throw is just a little bit too high to Luther in the middle of the field. Luther's going up for it into double coverage, and you know the play gets or the pass gets broken up. Where maybe if that's slightly lower, that's a catch he can bring in.
Yeah.
There was another one, I can't remember who it was to, but it played, you know, 10, 15 yards down the field on the sideline, or breaking in, and it's, you know, a foot back. And it's like, well, if that's on target, then that's an, you know, sure, an extra 15 yards and whatever the receiver is able to gain after that. So the stat line could look a bit better if he's, you know, 1 foot different here and there on a couple of throws.
Sure.
But
that's the game.
That's the game, right? Like, you can't just say, like, well, yeah, if the quarterback played better, then his stats would look better.
Exactly.
Yeah, of course they would.
Duh.
But, yeah, it's kind of that thing that we were talking about after week one, where the deep ball accuracy was off,
right,
for sure. And in week one, it was off by more. It was, you know, a step or two.
Sure.
On like, actual bombs down the field. Yeah. This was more the intermediate throws. But kind of the accuracy past, like, 15 yards has looked just a step off, you know, repeatedly.
Yeah.
And that's definitely something that can be figured out over time. There's been a lot of talk, at least on Twitter this last week, about, like, it's time to bench Brady Cook and bring Drew Pine. No, it's not. That's not happening.
That's not going to happen. Right.
As long as Brady Cook is able to be on the field, he is this team's quarterback.
Yeah.
So if that's what you're thinking, it's not going to happen.
Right.
And, you know, it is kind of that thing where he's just a little tiny bit off. So if that timing can kind of work into rhythm as you move forward, then it starts looking a lot better offensively very quickly.
If we're looking for bright spots, you got to start with Nate Noel, I think, from the standpoint of 23.
He's fantastic.
23 for 199. He did it for a second week in a row, you know.
He's so fast.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And, you know, the way he's able to cut or to find the spot, the right position to make a change of direction within this kind of zone stretch running scheme, you know, it was a big part of, I think, my day two story of just he has been doing zone running, stretch running at Appalachian State the past 4 years. He knows what this scheme is and where exactly the change needs to come.
Right.
Right. So he got asked about it a little bit in the press conference afterward, and he said, you know, it's kind of just more instinct for him at this point, which it looks like it, because it is on point.
Yeah.
Every time he makes a move, it's like, well, that was exactly the right spot to plant your foot.
Exactly.
And change direction.
Yeah. Let's take a quick break for an ad read. At Carpet Values, we offer the guaranteed lowest prices on all your flooring needs. And now, during our fall savings event, you can save even more. We are stocked full of carpet, vinyl plank, tile, laminates, rugs, and more. Don't miss out on these hot fall savings. Come see us at Carpet Values and take advantage of our guaranteed lowest prices. We're your low-price superstore at I-70 and Highway 54 in Kingdom City. So, I mean, yes, it was kind of a vexing win. It was a little bit harder than maybe it needed to be. The end result is the Tigers are 4-0 and we're heading into a bye week. So we won't belabor the point for too long, but this is probably a good point at which to stop and kind of assess some things. And I think, you know, when the schedule came out, you kind of looked at it and said, okay, if you get a win in that Boston College game, which was going to be the hardest of those four, you go, gosh, it's going to be a real shame if things are rolling and they're 4-0 and we have to stop. Because sometimes bye weeks come at bad times when things are going well. This might actually end up being a good time for it after a game where you go, okay, let's just try to figure some stuff out and see if there is some real problems that developed in that game, or if it was just another one of those Vandy games where you go, okay, that's just whatever. But this might be a good point to get that bye week and get ready for, you know, what's gonna not necessarily be an overwhelming stretch these next three games, but it might be worth fixing some problems before you head into this next stretch.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I understand the momentum argument when you say you're rolling through the first four. I think, you know, you got your two bye weeks, and it's four games bye, four games bye, four games, end of season.
Right.
That's about perfect.
Yeah.
I mean,
right.
there's I don't think there's a better way to set that up.
Right, right.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty good time for it. It gives a lot of kind of reflection time and, you know, tape time and everything to figure out what exactly is going wrong, like we were talking about with those red zone chances.
Yeah.
And try to get the offense more kind of on track as you move into definitely a tougher portion of the schedule.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, this first four was the nothing portion.
Right.
I mean, not to say, you know, Mississippi State coming down the line is super tough, but A&M and Bama are both, I think, in this middle segment.
Yes.
Is Bama the back end of this middle segment?
It goes A&M, UMass, Auburn, Bama.
So
you got the two hardest ones as the bookends.
Yeah, and both on the road.
Yeah.
Right? You've spent this whole first third of the season at home. Now you have some road matches.
Sure.
It's kind of what happens when you spend four games in a row at home.
Right, right.
But yeah, I mean, this is kind of the perfect time to really load up for this middle third of the season as you get ready for much tougher tests.
Yeah, and while I don't feel like that there is an injury report that's extremely lengthy, this is also a good time where you go, all right, let's get some people figured out. And I know that, you know, Norfleet's still probably a little bit hampered. So you go, that's a good time for him maybe to get right. But it's also good that there's not a lot of other guys where we're going, oh, they definitely have this and this and this and this as our problems.
Yeah, I know Norfleet left the game early against Vanderbilt. I'm not really sure what the deal is there. We're not going to get an official injury report this week. You know, just Charleston went in questionable, did play, but didn't start against Vanderbilt. So, you know, there's another guy who's an extra week is helpful.
Right.
Right.
Like, yeah.
Anybody who's just got a little bit of something,
sure.
An extra week's perfect.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of where they're at. There's no, like, major injuries at this point that are, you know, something needs an extra week or two.
Yeah.
But all of those guys who are just kind of dinged up that extra week, exactly the right time for it.
And we'll just take this as an excuse to get ourselves rested and recovered in this next week, and we'll come back strong for A&M week. So for Kyle McAravey, this is Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, visit newstribune.com and get game updates and more college sports content all week by following Kyle McAravey on Twitter at Kyle_McAravey. That's McAravey. Thanks for listening.